Happy Memorial Day. I'm Mark Halverson. Coming up this hour, it's a best of Front Page from just a couple of weeks back here on WWIMB and WIB.com. Thanks so much for your generous tax-deductible support of Western Wisconsin's Inspirational Broadcaster Incorporated, helping make Front Page possible today and every day here on WWIMB. This hour, we get things started, though, on a Relationship Monday. We call it that because, we say the Bible best summed up as our candidate for a word to sum up the Bible is relationship. We've had relationship from the beginning, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit from eternity past. And we've been invited into that, that we can have a relationship with God and with each other. And the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one, like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. So today we're not talking about the marriage relationship or the parenting relationship. We're talking about that relationship with God, and we've got a great author to help us do it. Mary DeMuth is author of many books. Her latest is Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. This hour on Front Page on WWIB and WIB.com. This hour, Mary DeMuth, the book is Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. You can learn more at MaryDeMuth.com. DeMuth, D-E-M-U-T-H. I think you know how to spell Mary. MaryDeMuth.com. Mary, thanks so much for being with us. Mary, are you there?
Yes, now I'm here.
All right, I'm sorry. Somehow we didn't get a switch flipped. So my apologies. Thanks for calling back and joining us here. And you missed that splendid intro. All right, so Worth Living is the book, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. And, you know, I get to host, besides this talk show and another one coming up on WOGO 11 to noon, I get to host an early morning show for the early risers, 5:30 to 7 Central Time here in the Midwest. And before 6 o'clock, I do something called the most encouraging few minutes in radio. And it's kind of the day, people call it the daily wake-up call. But one of the things we try to get across in there is the idea of batting leadoff. I was thinking if you had to put scripture verses in an order, like a batting lineup, the one that bats leadoff for me in that segment is 1 John 4:19. It reminds me of your book, Mary, which is We Love Because He First Loved Us. And before we get into the business of loving God and loving others, and Jesus said those are the two greatest commandments, we got to have some love, right? And I love that verse, we love because he first loved us. Was that in your mind at all as you wrote Worth Living?
Yeah, I mean, that's those what you just said about love God, love others is really what it's all about. And we determine our worth based on who we're loved by. And if we're loved by God, and we are, and that love is bedrock and the truth and cannot be shaken, then our worthiness is based on something that cannot be taken away from us, and so it's very secure. But so many of us walk around very insecure, thinking that we need to have other things to prove our worth, like achievement or the way we look or the grades that we get in school or whatever it might be. And those are faulty ways to base our worth on. It's not that those things aren't important because they're part of our lives, but the most important thing is the love that God has for us.
And we've talked with you in the past, Mary, but it's been a while for those who may have missed that. You've been very honest in your books and your ministry about your own challenges, your own journey. And so familiarize people here at the outset in terms of that and the challenges for you in terms of believing God's love for you.
Yeah, I definitely grew up in a home where I didn't know I was loved. I was constantly asking people to hug me and tell me that they loved me, so that was a problem. Just did not feel secure in it, and it was a very unsafe home. There were several divorces. There was drug abuse going on, and just unsafe places where we lived, and part of that was going to a babysitter every day as a five-year-old in kindergarten, and the babysitter allowing these neighborhood teenage boys to take me out. And so that year of my life was full of them taking advantage of me, raping me. And that was obviously a terrible blow to my worth, because I felt like the only reason I was on earth was to be abused, or in the case of my parents, to be neglected. And so I really had no idea, you know, what my purpose was. And so this kind of manifested itself after my father died when I was in fifth grade. I started to think about how I could kill myself. And so I spent several years thinking about that and writing about it and being kind of obsessed about it. And it wasn't until the ninth grade when I was invited to a ministry called Young Life, where I started to hear about Jesus Christ. And when I was in the 10th grade, I went to a weekend camp, and I met Jesus there. I learned all about him, and that's when I started to rediscover this idea of worth. It didn't happen overnight, and I'm still...
And that's where we seem to lose connection with Mary DeMuth when we first talked to her a couple of weeks ago on May 16th about her book, Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. We'll take a break and get back to this Best of Front Page. We reconnected with Mary, and you'll hear her. Don't miss it. Very good stuff the rest of the hour coming up here on WWIB and WIB.com.
Listen throughout the day for the Small Business Moment, brought to you by Citizens State Bank of Cadott and Chippewa Falls, highlighting smart ideas about running your small business more efficiently. It's back, June Dairy Month, presented by Omega Valley Farmers. Winning is easy. Just listen for the moo. When you hear it, be caller number 4 to 723-2555, and we'll hook you up with tasty treats from our friends at your 4 Eau Claire area Culver's. Every winner is also entered into a weekly drawing for a delicious cheese box from Omega Valley Farmers. Listen, win, enjoy. June Dairy Month on WWIB.
Remedy Drive is coming to Cameron, live in concert on June 4th at 6 p.m. with special guests True Serva and Sam Hall. This is a rain or shine concert under the big tent, and admission is free.
It's not too late to resuscitate my life.
Remedy Drive with True Serva and Sam Hall.
I'm a
This family-centered outdoor concert under the big tent is free. Lawn chairs and blankets are welcome. Don't miss Remedy Drive with True Serva and Sam Hall. Saturday, June 4th at 6 p.m. Located just 1 mile west of Cameron on Highway W behind Abundant Life Church. Remedy Drive with True Serva and Sam Hall, June 4th, 6 p.m. Don't miss it. For more information about this concert, please visit Abundant Life Church on Facebook.
France, 1918. The airplane is riddled with German bullets. So is its pilot, Rodney Williams of Waukesha, Wisconsin. Wounded and with gas leaking from bullet holes in the fuel tank, Williams needs to act fast. So he plugs the holes with his fingers and banks his crippled plane towards safety.
Get the rest of the story at the Wisconsin Veterans Museum, Madison. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs.
All right, we've got back on the line Mary DeMuth here, Front Page, WWIB and WIB.com. Her book, Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. She's author of more than 30 books. She's a former church planter in France, and that never happens to her, that the phone goes south like that. But it, we've got that behind us now, right?
I hope so.
Yeah,
so
very
sorry.
Good. All right. Spiritual opposition to this fine interview. All right.
That's right.
So you were taking us through the pain of the past when you're 5 years old and horrible abuse. And we're so sorry you had to face that. And yet how so many we know tragically the, more than statistics. Right. I mean, the abuse of boys and girls, but probably, you know, to a far greater extent, even girls. And so how did you journey through that? From the past to where you're at today.
Yeah, it was really meeting Jesus when I was a teenager and finally kind of understanding that there was someone out there.
Thank God for Young Life, right? Thank God for
yes,
Young Life.
Exactly. That he died for me, and knowing that there was, you know, that God loved me enough to send his son to die for me was huge. I hadn't been sacrificed for in my life, and I had already learned as a five-year-old that the only one that was ever going to protect me was me. And so to know that there was another protector out there, one that was willing to die, is huge. And like I said, or I hope I got this through, but maybe I didn't, I wish that the moment I met Christ, all of this was settled, that I knew exactly that he loved me. But it's been a long journey, and I think a lot of us battle that. I think if we could be honest and sit around in a circle and share our hearts, we would be able to say, you know, sometimes there are days I don't know if God loves me. And that's a really honest thing, and some of us battle that. And so
it seems to me, Mary, it seems like certain things do fall by the way more readily than others. But some of the things, you know, the more deeply entrenched something is, the longer it takes to get the turnaround, right?
It does. You have to uproot all those weeds that tell you you're worthless.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. And so, and yet nonetheless, out of that, and I don't want to say, oh, well, but hey, Mary, you've had a wonderful platform of ministry. But the truth is that you've been able to minister in a lot of different fronts as a speaker, a writer, a blogger, etc., because there is so much hurt and pain and abuse in people's past, be it emotional, verbal, sexual, correct?
Absolutely. And I think that's where, you know, God definitely gets the glory. He brought me through a very good healing process and to that point where now I have such deep empathy for people who struggle and I want to come alongside them and let them know that they're not alone. I think a lot of us out there, we think, oh, I'm the only one that's ever had this problem or I'm the only one that ever thinks this, and that's not true. So many of us have, you know, the human condition where we worry about whether we're worthy, we worry about whether, you know, people love us, and, you know, all those things are just really natural and normal.
Part of my, was looking at your book some last night and again this morning, Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. And between that and an older book from Sharon Hirst called The Last Addiction, and she had something in there, if you don't mind my just mentioning, that she talks about we always hear from ourselves, we heard it, and we've probably told it to our kids about God is watching you. And she tells a particular story of her four-year-old son, Graham, and he really liked knives. And he was... And so one day she walked into the kitchen and saw that Graham had pushed a chair over by the counter. He'd climbed up on the chair onto the counter on top of the refrigerator to reach the cupboard. When she walked into the kitchen, he was standing on the countertop holding the knife. And so she cried. She said, Graham, he's 4 years old. You know you're not supposed to have that. And then she says that she said to him what mothers everywhere say, Graham, even if I'd never found out about this, God would have known. And she says Graham's reply was, Why is God always watching me? And so just pause there and think about that. I mean, there's songs about it. I mean, this idea of he's watching, the Father's watching. But Sharon Hirsch makes the case, and I think you're going to agree with this, that we overwhelmingly think in our minds he's watching to see whenever we go wrong that he'll catch us. But she makes the case very compellingly. She's like, he's watching us because he loves us. That's why he's... And that really was a shift in my thinking this morning. As much as I emphasize God loves us and try to embrace that myself and others, after all these years, Mary DeMuth, I mean, and I think it's very much in step with your book, Worth Living, is the idea that, I mean, he is about holiness. I'm not underselling that, but he made us fearfully and wonderfully, as Psalm 139 says, he loves us. That's why he's watching.
Yeah, just like we are, as good parents, watch our kids because we love them and mm-hmm. we are fascinated by them, and we like to watch them play kind of from the sidelines so they don't know we're watching, because it's just so beautiful and amazing because they're part of us and we love them. That's one of the things that has helped me to understand my worth has been realizing just how much I love my kids, and whether they rebel or they do everything quote unquote right, it doesn't matter. My love for them is not altered based on their behavior. But so many of us live as if our worth and our and God's love for us is dependent upon us. It's actually dependent upon him, and he is the one who perfectly loves.
Right. And that's the way it needs to start there, right? And that's the challenge. That's why one of the reasons I love the 1 John 4:19 and batting leadoff in my verses on a daily basis, Mary DeMuth, is because it doesn't start with us and performance. It starts with him, right? I mean, he was the creator. We were his idea. It was, you know, and then Romans 5:8, he demonstrates his own love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how we have been loved. That's how we are and will be loved, right, Mary?
Exactly, and that's an important verse, because we did not initiate that. He chased us.
Mm-hmm.
and we didn't do anything to deserve his chasing. He wasn't chasing us in a negative way, but a positive way, because he loved us mm-hmm. and he chose to. And gosh, that's such a great truth to remind ourselves of. We're you know, we have busy to-do lists and we're running around like crazy people all the time and we're trying to prove our worth, and yet we need to stop and remember that it's already settled. It's already taken care of. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to run around anymore. He loves us as we are.
Yeah. And yet that's a big thing. And can you talk more about that, Mary DeMuth, in terms of in your journey? Because let's face it, when you face abuse of any type, I mean, the shame that comes with that, and you weren't the abuser, you were the abusee. But I mean, in terms of a home, it's you tell some stories of neglect, I think, and if that's inaccurate, correct me. But you were you had to overcome and have had to continue to fight that kind of dumping that toxic shame out of your life and letting the light of God's love replace the darkness and the shame.
Exactly. And that's where I've had to kind of come back to those ideas in scripture about taking every thought captive and retraining my mind, as you know, it talks about in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You can imagine the pathways that were carved for a little girl who was neglected and abused. And, you know, again, a lot of your listeners have these stories. They may not be in the same degree. They may be worse. They may be less worse, but we all have hard stories. And we begin to believe things about ourselves based on how, you know, things were in the past. And the past could even be last week. It doesn't have to be like 25 years ago or whatever. And so the whole book is, the reason I wrote it was I had to get to this place where I retrained my heart and my mind. And so the book is structured around 10 lies that we believe around our worth, and more likely our worthlessness is how we are believing, and the 10 truths that will set us free. And how that came about was I had a friend of mine who saw that I was just wrestling my worth in my brain and just really not, I was very insecure and all these things were typifying me. And she said, Mary, I want you to write down the lies that you're believing on one side of this 3x5 card. She gave me a bunch of 3x5 cards. She said, on the other side, I want you to write the scripture that combats the lie. And she said, I want you just to pray about it. You know, it may not be evident at first, but as you are on a journey and an adventure with Jesus, he's going to show you those scriptures. And so I did that. I began to see and write down and memorize and look at the scriptures that combated the lies that I was believing about myself. And that brought me down a pathway of health. And so this book is basically just to help you retrain your mind. And I don't know what your lies are that you believe, and we may not have the same ones, but it's been a very healthy exercise for me to actively retrain my mind with the power of scripture.
That's terrific, and that's what we're going to talk about the rest of the hour here on WWIBandWib.com. And I'm going to give kind of an overview of that list, and then we'll get a break and come back and work our way through and hear from callers as well. This is a book of healing for sure, and Mary DeMuth's ministry is a ministry of healing. I'm sure, Mary, you've heard from many, many people because you've been used. Just the truth is, I'm not trying to put you up on a pedestal, but as a humble journeyer, you have ministered to many people, and this is just the latest contribution to your collection of healing.
That's my prayer, and that's my hope. I mean, I feel like God's placed me on this earth to endure the story that I had in order to come alongside those with other stories.
Let me just ask you this, though, because I'm looking at the content of this book, and the subtitle is How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy, but it's called Worth Living Instead of Worth Loving. Why?
I don't know. I just think because we have it's a very common vernacular that we have in our day-to-day lives. We hear the phraseology worth living. And so the central message of the book is you are worth loving and your life is worth living. And as one who, you know, used to consider suicide, that was kind of the linchpin for me, that we have this life that God has given us. There's only one us. And I can reach particular people because of my circle of, you know, family and friends. You can reach your people in ways that I could never reach. We need you here. We need me here. We need everybody fulfilling their purpose. And part of that purpose is just knowing that there's a reason we're here, and there's a reason that we are helping others. That you know that you can't touch those, and I can't touch yours, and we have these important spheres, and so we need to step into that boldly.
Let's give kind of an overview for the listeners, because you talk about the lies, and you're right. I mean, you said they may be different, and yet, just like a baseball pitcher goes with a fastball, a slider, and a curve, there's only so many pitches and only so many lies, and yet he is the accuser of the brethren, right? I mean, he comes and he's the father of lies. Jesus said that. Scripture reveals that. It's true. And if you're a Christian, I mean, you're going against the world, the flesh, and the devil. So put on your helmet and heed Ephesians 6, right, Mary DeMuth?
Exactly. Yes, he is the father of lies. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, as you mentioned. And I think he wins some battles when we believe those lies. So bringing them out into the open and really exposing them has been really a good practice for me to do in my life.
Well, this is kind of the overview. I'm just going to read through the whole list, and then maybe we can talk just a little bit about it in kind of an overview way, and then after a break, get into more specifics. But you say that these are the truths, all right, that you're wildly loved. You're more than a to-do list. You're uncaged. You're weakly strong. Interesting. You're secure. You're beautiful. You're chosen. You're destined for impact. You're worth more than a paycheck. And you're a redemptive story. Now, it's kind of interesting. I mean, Neil Anderson has popularized the I ams of Scripture that have to do with our security and significance, et cetera. But that's a list of as many as 36. It can be accepted, secure, significant. It's really helpful stuff. But this is different. This is kind of from your own personal journey. So first of all, just speak to me kind of about the overview of that 10-pack. It's better than a 10-pack of Dilly Bars. So there you go.
Probably better for you.
Yeah, probably.
You won't go into some sort of diabetic shock after these truths. like you said, these are ones that are unique to my life, and I slanted this book to women, and so one of the truths is you are beautiful. So, you know, I think that's one of the greatest ones that we struggle with, particularly in the society that we live in the very visual world we live in. These are things that, as I talked with people who were struggling with worth, these kind of 10 kind of just resurfaced and came to the surface and to the top. And so those are the ones I decided to concentrate on.
All right. Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little bit of a break and come back with Mary DeMuth, and we'll get more into these. And if we're striking a chord with you, love to hear from you at 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769. Email mark at wwib.com, or you can text Halva to 77. Well, China, I haven't been giving the text as much, so you can text us as well, Halva at 777. I'll have to check on that. Anyhow, this song taking us to break here on Front Page on wwibandwib.com. Michelle Wagner, it's from years ago, and we actually had a friend of ours sing this at the start of our wedding almost 18 years ago in 1998. I think it's in step with today's conversation with Mary DeMuth about her book, Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. Learn more at her website, marydemuth.com.
Menards has solutions for you to control the humidity in your home. Concrobium moisture grabbers reduce humidity in large indoor areas with water-absorbing pouches that trap moisture. They protect against musty odors, mold and mildew damage, and rust. They're great for basements, crawl spaces, attics, and other high humidity areas. A moisture grabber pouch is only $7.99. Don't forget Father's Day. Pick up a gift card.
Save big money at Menards.
Our military members and their families make sacrifices every day. How can we best let them know we've got your back? In their own words,
I'm Brigham Gustafson. I was in the United States Army, served in Iraq from 2011 to 2012. There's a lot of stuff that people sacrifice that, you know, not just lives, but other things, you know, time off, you know, away from family and stuff like that, missing first moments, you know, with their kids, relationships. I know a few guys that kind of got out of the service and they kind of struggled with, you know, getting reintegrated back into the civilian life. I guess the whole employer thing there, I guess I'd hope employers would, you know, consider, you know, hiring a veteran over somebody else. I mean, as long as they have the same qualifications, I would hope they would take the veteran thing into consideration.
Join us in finding ways to show our service members we've got your back. Brought to you by Economy Furniture, Stockman Farm Supply and more, North Central Insulation, and Hagen Decorating. Proud to support our troops and their families at home and abroad.
Mason Outlet Store's huge Big Top Tent Sale is going on now through Sunday, June 5th. Men's tent footwear is $35 a pair, two for $55. Women's tent footwear is only $29 a pair, two for $45. Kids' shoes as well, one pair $19, two for $30. Stop inside Mason Outlet and get up to 20% off the rest of the store. It's Mason Outlet Store's Big Top Tent Sale. They're open extended hours and open Memorial Day. Stop and save at the Mason Outlet Big Top Tent Sale on now downtown Chippewa Falls.
So you hide your dreams, you cover your scars, you're afraid someone might know you, but spiritual freedom comes from believing you're loved as you are. You're beautiful.
Front Page, WWIB, Mary DeMuth is our guest this hour, a Relationship Monday. We're talking about the most important relationship at all, your relationship with God. He's the initiator. He's the creator. He's the redeemer. He's our heavenly father. And Mary DeMuth has written more than 30 books, including The Day I Met Jesus. She's a sought-after speaker, longtime blogger. We're talking about her latest book, Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. If you have questions or comments along the way, I think I've got my intro set now. It's 723-2555 in Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls, 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, email markatwib.com, or you can text HALVO to 77000. Was blanking on those zeros. Text HALVO to 77000. All right, Mary DeMuth is our guest. Again, we've got copies of this book to give away, so include your address when you email markatwib.com, markatwib.com. Sheila Walsh says about Mary, that she writes not as a spectator of life, but as one who has lived it in all of its broken beauty. The wisdom and grace she shares are powerful. So, all right. Well, I guess you spoke kind of briefly about the overview of this, and it's yours. So take us on a journey. I mean, I think it starts with chapter two, right? That you are, you already established in the, you know, about the lies, and we've touched on that to some extent, but believing that you wildly love. And again, the lie is, Mary, and I think so many of us hear this and battle it, you don't deserve this love.
Exactly. We believe that we don't deserve it because we know ourselves so well. I mean, I know all of my flaws. I'm intimately acquainted with them. And so it's really hard for me to offer myself the same kind of grace that God offers me. And I think I don't think I'm alone in that. I think a lot of us struggle with that. We're well acquainted with our sin, and we're not as acquainted with the grace of God.
Yeah. You know, I'm just curious. I mean, I would identify with that very much as well. I've talked about growing up. My dad was an alcoholic, and it was confusing. I mean, he said, I love you, and I appreciate that. But at the same time, I mean, he could get angry, very angry and loud, and the neighbors knew that, et cetera. And so that had its impact, whatever. I mean, it's just, I know that. I totally identify. And yet, Mary, I know it's not just the two of us, but I mean, it seems like other folks, I mean, are they just not letting on? Because don't you meet folks, Christians, and it seems like they don't struggle with it, or at least they don't acknowledge that.
I think it's more they don't acknowledge it, and I'm not going to call people liars that are super happy and feel God's love, because I think that's awesome, but I think we are sometimes in a church culture too, where we're not allowed to say that we doubt or we're confused, or we maybe like you, and I had an absent father, so I can relate to it in a different way. We have parents who were supposed to, in some ways, represent God to us, and of course, you know, they weren't perfect, and I'm not the perfect mom, and you're not the perfect dad, and so we, you know, assign God these roles that he never had. And so, just to get back to your question, I think a lot of us fundamentally struggle with the love that God has for us because it feels too good to be true. And we've had a jaded experience of love in the past, and we've been broken and hurt by other people. And so it's hard for us to believe that the God of the universe, who's holy and perfect and amazing, loves us. But that is the truth, and that's where coming into this idea of training our minds and training our hearts to believe and to settle ourselves on that has been really helpful to me.
Mm-hmm. And so how do you do that? How have you trained? I mean, just memorizing scriptures or?
Yeah, you take the magic blue pill and everything's awesome after that. No, it's not quite like that. Yeah, wouldn't that be great? I believe it's a discipline, and it's a lifetime of learning, and it's recognizing your relationship to the Holy Spirit who lives within you. I think about Brother Lawrence and his example of being loved by God, and he would just spend time with God via his relationship with the Holy Spirit all day long. And I do believe it's important to memorize scripture. I do believe it's important to read the word, and all of those things are vitally important, and I would never say otherwise. But there's something very beautiful about cultivating a moment-by-moment relationship where you are in constant community. And as you're in that constant community with God, that's when he begins to speak these really great truths over your life, or you begin to realize how intimately amazing he is. And I believe that he shows his love for us not in these great, grandiose ways, although the cross would definitely qualify as that, but he shows us he loves us in small ways. And I think that's the most intimate thing that I enjoy about the Lord, is that he knows the little parts of me that no one else knows and surprises and delights me through that relationship that I have with him.
And you're right. There are those folks you can look to and point to that have modeled this ahead of us. The well-known contemplative Thomas Merton was asked, "Who are you?" And he answered immediately, "I am the loved one." Or certainly Henry Nouwen has written a lot about this. In fact, I remember from Nouwen, something I took away is that he said that every day you need to get in the presence of God and hear him say, "You are my beloved son, you're my beloved daughter." You know?
Yes, and even, you know, I think about the Apostle John, who he refers to himself as the one who Jesus loves.
Yeah,
and
good example.
Wouldn't that be great? You know, you talk about things to start your day with. Wouldn't mm-hmm. it be great if we just look ourselves in the mirror and say, I am the one Jesus loves.
Mm-hmm.
I am the apostle. I am the follower of Christ whom he loves. Just think about how that would change your perspective just by saying it out loud.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you,
people out in your house, but it's still cool.
Mm-hmm. Oswald Sanders is a well-known Christian writer from days gone by, and he's probably best known for a book called Spiritual Leadership. But I've had the privilege in the last year, since last fall, to be a part of a Sunday school class that went through a book, I don't know the exact, but it's about intimacy with God, with Christ. And he talks about, and uses both Old Testament and New Testament examples in terms of four different levels of relationship. And he makes the case that, you know, in the Old Testament, it goes more broad, and then level three, level two, and that Moses had that most intimate of relationships. And that similarly, you can look at Jesus from the 70 some, the crowd down to 12, down to three. And then Jesus obviously had the most intimate. And so it's laid out, and I just suggest that for people. I'll try to get you the exact title, but the idea of, are we willing to say yes to what it would take to have a deeper intimacy, to more highly prioritize what it takes to be so close to the Lord that you know with confidence, I'm loved?
Yeah, I mean, we're commanded to draw near to God, but the promise then is, and he will draw near to you. So the question becomes, what is it in your life that prevents you from drawing near to God? Is it just simply your will, or is there something in there blocking you of, oh, I have this? But then I think about when Jesus talked to the paralytic and said, do you want to get well? And the guy never answers him back. But I think there's an element of that in our lives where he's asking us, do you want to get through this? Do you want to believe that you're wildly loved by me? And I think a lot of us have made our, you know, our stress in our lives or the way we think about how things always will be, that is our commonplace, that is our easy place, that's our frame of reference for how we've always done things. It's comfortable. And we've lived in our victimhood for so long that we think that's the easy way. So sometimes for us, it just simply means chasing after God and saying, I just desperately want to get well. Mm-hmm. I want to have a better perspective about who I am in you. Please show me. Mm-hmm. And so there is some effort on our part. This desire, this need, this wanting, mm-hmm. I think is part of the part of the solution.
The Mary DeMuth, our guest, her book is Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. Betsy, emailing mark@wib.com, says she's really enjoying the interview. Betsy, get me your address. We'll see you get a copy. If you have questions or comments for Mary, she's our guest the next 20 minutes, 723-2555, 1-800-657-4769, email mark@wib.com. Pat Wall along, the best in contemporary Christian music after 11 here on WWIB. We'll have a second hour of live local talk on our sister station, FM 103.1, AM 680, and wogo.com. Talking a lot of politics today. But let me just add...
Well, that's a fun topic. We should just talk about politics.
No, we shouldn't. the Oswald Sanders book I reference is called Enjoying Intimacy with God, for those who want to try to order that. Enjoying Intimacy with God. It's very good. Very, very good. Very rich. As is Mary's book. But wanted to ask you, like, will we find opponents to this? Will we find people who battle against us? And I know I mentioned earlier those traditional Christian enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And yet Jesus butted heads with the Pharisees, and they wanted to hang their hat on their performance and not on I am his beloved. And I know we've got that in our day, right?
We do. And I think, you know, it's personally for me, and I've been Pharisaical before, it's easier to follow, you know, just give me the rules. Give me the 7 steps to this or the 5 steps to that. I don't want to have to pursue relationship. It's hard. It's risky. I'm afraid. What if God doesn't show up? What if he doesn't, you know, answer me the way I want? And we all have prayers like that, right? Like that we've been praying for years that aren't quite answered yet. And so it's important that we just, I don't know, you know, just chase after him and trust that he's got this. And that's not easy to do because as I said before, it's easier to chase a bunch of rules.
How did you move from, one of my favorite stories is Luke 18, 9 through 14, the Pharisee and the tax collector. How did you, in a great book in this regard, John Fisher, 12 Steps for the Recovering Pharisee Like Me, which I'm looking for my copy because we're starting to pack books as we plan to move to Africa. But the fact is how did you move from taking the mask off and becoming more real? Or Brennan Manning, right? I mean, just that Abba's Child about the cry of the heart for intimate belonging. And he writes so memorably there in chapter 2 about the imposter. We've got to take off that mask, that pretender, that poser, right? And let him love the real us, the messy person we are on the inside. Because he knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, right, Mary?
He knows it all, and I think that's where I think being in a church culture is awesome, but it sometimes can be a disservice because the church culture says, come to church, look like you've got it all together, smile and praise the Lord, and it doesn't necessarily foster honesty. And truly, I feel more loved when I'm myself and somebody in my life loves me for who I am. But if I'm acting and play acting and trying to appear to be somebody else, then I'll always be insecure because I'll never know if that person really loved me for who I am or for this, you know, weird persona that I've projected. And I think that's part of the Pharisaical problem is that we try to be something that we're not. And I'll just admit, I'm gloriously messy. And I've got some amazing family members and friends who just love gloriously messy me. And there's something very lovely about that. I don't want to play act around God. He already knows. And like you mentioned, he loves me anyway. So why would I do that with my other relationships?
If this is book 31, then maybe that's book 32. I'm gloriously messy. I'm Mary DeMuth. The book is Worth Living.
Thanks. You gave me a new title.
Well, you must struggle after all those books. I didn't come up with another one. Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy, here on Front Page on WWIB and WIB.com. All right, we've got an anonymous email, and thanks to this dear listener who says this, emailing Mark at WIB.com. She writes, I have never admitted to anyone outside of my family that my mom physically abused me as a child. I've spent my adult life still seeking her approval as she continues to push me away while embracing my other siblings. God has told me over and over, I think I'm hearing the pain in you there, feeling for this listener, Mary DeMuth.
Yeah.
God has told me over and over that his love is enough. He wants me to come to him and allow him to fill me up every day. But the fight continues, says Anonymous. I would like a copy of Mary's book.
Wow. So hard. It's so hard because really our first fundamental relationship is with our mom. And if there are mother injuries like that, they're very painful. And I found myself in my own story. My mom and I are in the process of reconciling, but there were many years where we were apart. And I found myself chasing after even bad relationships in my life that looked like her. And I was constantly sad and upset and frustrated because I was trying to think, well, if I can get this narcissist to like me, then maybe it proves that I'm lovable. And maybe it proves that I can be loved by someone like that, which is an oxymoron, because if you have an abusive parent or you have a narcissistic parent or a sociopathic parent, they don't have the capability to love you that way. Now, God may create a miracle and cause her to change, but ultimately, she's got to find that love in the Lord. And the roadblock is that, you know, moms are supposed to love their kids, but the scripture says, even if my mom forsakes me, you know, God still loves me. So that has been one of the ones I've had to cling to throughout the years, is that my mom may not have loved me the way I needed to be loved, but God was still there and he still loves me. And that has been hard won, and it continues to be hard won.
That's true. Thank you, listener, for emailing, and you'll get a copy of Worth Living from Mary DeMuth, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. All right, more to go with Mary. We've just touched on one. We're not going to get to all of these, obviously, but I think it's a bedrock that this is built on. In fact, you got a great line in here. God's love is bedrock. Build your life on it. So more to get to. You're more than a to-do list. And we've got to get her before we say goodbye at 11 to explain you are uncaged and you are weekly strong. And coming up, what are your free cards? You'll find out if you go to MaryDeMuth.com.
Why wait for end-of-season sales on summer styles? Give yourself a break. It's the Great Summer Price Break at Peebles. Thursday through Sunday, find 50% markdowns throughout the store on tees, tanks, shorts, and more, plus 40 to 50% off summer sandals for the family, and take an extra 20% off with your coupon. Just visit us online or download our app. Stock up now and wear it all summer long with the Great Summer Price Break, only at Peebles, part of our Stage family. Exclusions apply.
You can get your IRA or 401k delivered to your home in the form of physical gold and silver coins. Augusta Precious Metals is the leader in home delivery gold IRAs. You get free shipping, free insurance, and no professional management fees. Call 855-858-5807 now for your free guide to Augusta Home Delivery Gold IRAs. Call Augusta Precious Metals at 855-858-5807. That's 855-858-5807. Trust Augusta.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's achieve zero deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Zero in Wisconsin.
And I should have recognized your voice when you were harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
We're afraid of who we are. It's hard to imagine this world that we live in could need us.
All right, pulled out a song from the past to talk about this book we're discussing this hour from Mary DeMuth. It's Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. And Mary, I just know when I'm saying that, different people, it sounds too good to be true. You know, and so we fight that. We go, I couldn't possibly be. Do you know all the mistakes I made? But it's the truth of the Bible, isn't it?
It is, and I'm so grateful for it. And I stand here today because of the love of God. And you know, there's been so many stops and starts in my life, and I don't have it perfectly understood, but I am changed by it and so grateful for it.
Well, let me take you a little bit further into your book, Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. We think about Zephaniah 3:17, right? Singing over us, et cetera, to embrace the truths of the scripture. But chapter three is I'm more than a to-do list. And the lie you confront here is, listen, sister, you are what you produce. So
yes. And for me, I am a recovering achiever. It's one of the, if you ever take Strengths Finders, that was my number one. And people who know me, they're like, yeah, that's you. And so I've had to really work through that, because I think, oh, the lie is, it's actually something that's quite rewarded in America these days, is the person who can climb the ladder, the person who can be successful, the person who can achieve their goals. And what I found was it was like climbing a really big mountain. And I would climb to the top of the mountain, and instead of stopping to enjoy the vista and to go, oh my gosh, I just climbed a mountain, this is amazing, I'm like, where's the other mountain? And it's this treadmill that we get on of achievement that we think, okay, this carrot dangled in front of me is going to make me happy, and I'll finally find my worth when I achieve A. And so you get to A, and you're like, okay, well, that's not enough, so I need to go to B. And then you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going. And that's why we have burnout today, because people are desperately wanting to achieve things. They achieve it, and it's never enough, because only God's love is designed to fill that human heart.
Yeah. And so, again, that's a lie there. I am what I produce. And so, again, you got to be willing to get off that performance treadmill and try to see it from God's perspective. Is that the root of this, though? I mean, even when I think about that performing, I mean, isn't that also about very much tied into what other people think about you?
Well, sure, because you're performing for somebody, right?
Right.
And you're achieving for the sake of all those other people.
And isn't that, I mean, we talk about probably pride versus brokenness, so much of this in terms of our own pride that needs to crumble. And because we're so focused on, rather than the audience of one, the Lord, in terms of what other people think and what they are saying or what they might say, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I think anyone who's had pain in their past or they've been rejected by someone, there's this insatiable need to say, okay, I'm going to prove it. I'm going to prove I'm okay. And what was ironic about my own upbringing is I was like, okay, I need to be noticed, but I'm not being noticed. So I'm going to jump through every possible hoop of achievement that I can to be noticed. And You know, down the road, I'm standing up giving the valedictorian speech at my high school graduation, and I still feel empty because it didn't garner the notice I wanted. Sometimes there's just people that don't notice things. And so I've had to come to that place of, okay, Jesus, he sees all this. And I think for those of you out there who are thinking, I'm working so hard, or I'm doing unseen things that nobody sees, it's okay, because God notices you. He notices the things that you do in secret that are, you know, that no one knows about, but that you and him know about. And there will be reward on the other side. You may not see it on this earth, but you will see it on the other side. And when we packed up and left our everything we knew and moved to France, it was one of the hardest things that we've ever done as a family. And so much suffering that we went through on every level. And I had to come to the place of saying, you know, even if no one knows what we're suffering, God knows what we're doing, and he knows that we're suffering, and he loves us, and there will be reward someday. It may not come in this life, but it will come in the next. And that's very counterintuitive. That's very kingdom-y and not very kingdom of this world-ish, if that makes sense.
Hmm. Well, the book is Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. Final few minutes here with Mary DeMuth. If you have a question or comment or you'd like a copy of the book, 723-2555, email mark@wib.com, include your address when you do. And 10 different chapters where she says, lie, I do not deserve love. Truth, I am wildly loved. Lie, I am what I produce. Truth, I am more than a to-do list. Let me go to a couple of others I for sure want to get to for the top. Lie, I will never overcome my past. Truth, I am uncaged. Think of Maya Angelou, right? Why the uncaged bird sings. And we think in terms of her story, out of after her abuse that she was as a child, right? She just was speechless for years.
Yeah. I mean, she has an amazing story, and her words are so powerful, and there is something very great about that idea of being uncaged. And I think a lot of people relate to that, where you feel like you're, you know, a lot of us think we're stuck in a cage because someone put us there. Someone's actions, someone's, you know, sin has placed us there. And I'm so grateful that through the cross, God's opened the cage. And I think for a time in my life, I felt so comfortable in that cage that the door was open, but I didn't fly. And thankfully, eventually, I began to see that it wasn't doing me any favors to hang out inside a cage, because that's not what I was meant to do. I was meant to fly. And so it took everything within me and the kindness and gentleness of the Lord to say, come on out. It's cool out here. You're going to like flying. And I'm so grateful, because life is a lot better when you're flying than when you're sitting inside of a cage.
That's for sure. And then another one here, lie, I should be ashamed of my weakness, but the truth is I am weakly strong. That's kind of a unique. We don't see those two words put together. What is weakly strong, Mary DeMuth?
Well, our friend Paul would assert that this is true in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, where he talks about, most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. And he says, I'm well content with weaknesses. And, you know, that's kind of anti-American, because we're like, I'm not well content with my weaknesses. I hide my weaknesses and play to my strengths, right? So, but the cool thing is, and this is what I love to share with people who have difficult stories, and I think many of us do have difficult stories if we've lived on this earth at all, it's this. It's that we can either say, oh, my gosh, all these terrible things happened to me. It's such a weakness of mine. It's such a pain. It's so hard. Or we can say, that in my life has caused me to reach out for God, because I knew I couldn't do it on my own. And for me, that was true. I could not heal myself. I could not get over the devastation of sexual abuse on my own. I needed Jesus, and that weakness compelled me into his strength. And I think there's so many of us out there, we think, okay, we've just got to be super strong. And to be a great Christian, we've got to look like we've got to all have it all together, and we'll play the game, and it'll be all great. But when God is looking for followers, he looks after those whose hearts are completely his, who understand their weakness. And that weakness becomes the dance floor for God to dance his steps. Mm-hmm. And therefore, weakness is awesome, because that means we actually need him. And instead of trying to live the Christian life in our own strength and ultimately failing, we fall on the cross and we say, we cannot do it. Please be my strength. And that's where the Christian life really starts getting lived and starts getting exciting. Hmm.
Well, that's great stuff. And you speak with real passion and conviction about that, Mary.
Yeah, because I'm super weak. And I really need a strength.
But I love that. I think one of my favorite interviews over the last couple of years, we've talked to him a couple of times, is John Dickerson. He's been an award-winning journalist and later a pastor in Arizona. He's gone on to California. He's at Chip Ingram's church. And his more recent journey, he's had a lot of health struggles. He's only in his early 30s, but he's had a lot of health struggles. Wow. But he writes very much about the idea, very strong, that God's strength made perfect in our weakness, as you said, from 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And the fact is that he says strongly, he's like, I'm convinced that Paul's greatest ministry is when he had the thorn in the flesh. I mean, you can look at the expanse of Paul's ministry, but yet when he was weakest and made strong in the Lord, Dickerson has convinced me, Mary DeMuth, that God is about that in our lives. I mean, he is about, you know, breaking down the pride towards brokenness. He is about trying to make us strong in him this journey, as Nancy Lee DeMoss says, from brokenness to surrender to holiness. I mean, that, again, I don't want to suggest for a second that God is predictable, because he's not. But I think there is a pattern here. I mean, he did it with Paul, and I think that's what he wants to be about in his kids' lives. You agree?
It is. I agree. And I think we, as I said, I mean, I think we think we're supposed to be all that in a bag of chips, but actually we're supposed to be, it's okay to be a mess, because that's where he can do his greatest work. It's when we can surrender and say, okay, you're right, I can't do this. Hmm. And that's when he does his best work.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. I mean, I think in a lot of different Christian circles, to say that, to just say that takes faith. Now, you're saying it from the comfort of your home here on the radio, and none of these folks see you, but I want to say that, too. I used to call my early morning show The Morning Mess, and somebody finally said, well, you know, so we ended up settling on The Morning Light. But the fact is, I'm no less messy. So anyhow, and what that means is that in light of God, right, in light of the Lord, that we are a mess. And so, and yet so often we get caught up in playing the game of the comparison on the earthly plane. Well, you've
exactly.
You've got lots of other great lie versus truth, and we want to tell people about MaryDeMuth.com, because if you go there, I've gone there here during the show, and I've signed up to receive access to the what you call the cards, right? They're called, you can get free cards. Tell people how they can get that.
Yeah, so all those lies and truths are, I created them as a PDF that you can print on cardstock and cut into your own cards, and then your job then is to do what my job was a long time ago, and that is to find the scriptures that tell you the truth and put them on the back of the cards. I believe that this retraining of your mind will change your life and help you to begin to believe finally that you are worth loving, and of course, your life is completely worth living.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So a couple of things, folks. Go to MaryDeMuth.com right now, Mary, D-E-M-U-T-H, MaryDeMuth.com. And then you'll see it right there. You'll see too many lies in your head. Finally, uncover your worth. Get free printable lie truth cards here. There's a big rectangle box. I want my free card. Sign up for that. And then go get Mary's book, Worth Living, How God's Wild Love for You Makes You Worthy. Mary DeMuth, congratulations on yet another fantastic, thoughtful, very real book. And continue to go wherever God leads, okay?
All right. Well, thank you so much, and thanks for just having a really honest conversation. I really appreciate it.
That does it for this Best of Front Page on this Memorial Day on WWIB Halley, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. Back live tomorrow, Lord willing, talking to the first half hour at 10 with David Dark about his book, Life's Too Short to Pretend You're Not Religious. Join us then here on WWIB Halley, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls.